It's National Sleep Awareness Week. They like to put that right after daylight saving time, so when they make us lose an hour of sleep, then they can make us focus on, are we getting enough sleep? Why aren't we getting enough sleep? Some of the answers, maybe we can get a help today from Dr. Carlos Nunez, who joins us. He's of ResMed and explaining some of the things that we can talk about for sleep. I guess, why don't we just start out with the basic one, the importance of sleep? I think we know what it is, but maybe you can give some insight.
Sure. Yeah, no, thank you. You know, sleep is vitally important to our health. You know, there are three pillars of good health: sleep, diet, and exercise. And we spend a lot of time talking about diet and exercise, but we don't focus on sleep that much. But good, healthy sleep is necessary. It's necessary for your emotional and mental well-being, as well as your physical well-being. There are some, you know, pretty devastating and important diseases that are tied to a lack of good sleep. And the more we learn about how to get good, healthy sleep, whether you have a sleep disorder or not, the better you're going to be later in life.
We sort of know what we eat. We know when we're exercising. Sometimes sleep is a mystery. We fall onto the pillow and we sort of sleep. Maybe we wake up, but we still don't feel refreshed. So what's happening during those supposedly 8 hours, but whatever time that we are resting? What should be happening? What might be occurring that affects us?
Yeah, so what should be happening is you've got a regular schedule where you go to bed more or less the same time and wake up more or less the same time every day, 7 days a week. It's not different for work and days off. It's not always easy to do that. People have shift work and things, but that's what is the ideal. And the ideal means you get to bed and you're in bed to sleep. There's no phone, no iPad, no TV. You turn that stuff off at least an hour before, because that artificial light tricks your body into thinking that the sun is still up. And it makes it harder to fall asleep. And then the conventional things: avoid caffeine late in the day, avoid too much alcohol close to bedtime, those sorts of things. But even with all of that, like you said, you might wake up and not feel refreshed. And it may be that there is a sleep disorder. It could be something like insomnia or restless leg syndrome, but it could also be something like sleep apnea, which is highly prevalent. I mean, nearly a billion, that's with a B, people in the world have it. In the United States alone, it's estimated that about 54 million Americans have it, and 80% don't know it and are not being treated. And when you have something like sleep apnea, it prevents you from getting good restful sleep and puts you at risk for everything from anxiety, depression, cognitive dysfunction, meaning your mind is just not sharp, increased risk for motor vehicle accidents, workplace accidents and injuries, decreased productivity at school, work, home, and then physically increased risk for cardiovascular disease like high blood pressure, atrial fibrillation, metabolic disorders like obesity, type 2 diabetes, and even emerging evidence that shows poor sleep could lead to an increased risk for things like Alzheimer's, or certain cancer diagnoses do worse if you're a poor sleeper versus a good sleeper. So there are all the reasons in the world to want to sleep well.
How do we know if we have the sleep apnea? And I always think, is that the one where you're sort of suddenly stop breathing, or your excessive snoring, or a combination? And how does it develop?
Yeah, so that's exactly what it is. So apnea is Latin for no breath. And what happens is while you sleep, you stop breathing to the point where you are essentially suffocating. Your oxygen level drops, your brain freaks out and tries to get you to breathe. And it does that by sending an adrenaline surge through your body saying, we're dying, we're suffocating, please take a breath. So it wakes you up enough to take a breath, but not enough for you to even know that you were awake for a moment. In a mild case of sleep apnea, that happens 5 to 15 times an hour, every hour while you sleep. In a moderate to severe case, it is not unheard of for people to stop breathing, to suffocate 20, 40, 60, 100 times an hour. So if you can imagine what's happening, you are never getting a good night's sleep. Your body is constantly being insulted with these repeated shocks of low oxygen, adrenaline rush, almost awake, almost asleep. And that just repeats dozens and dozens and dozens of times overnight. And as you can imagine, that's what causes all the problems.
Right. So is this a chronic thing? What's causing it to happen, and what do we do about it, I guess?
Yeah, some people, it's anatomic. Like, you're born with airways that just tend to collapse and make it hard for air to move when you sleep. For some people, it's the result of metabolic conditions. Like, you middle-aged person who's gained a few extra pounds, now those tissues in the throat are a little bigger and a little floppier. And then there are other disorders, everything from heart failure to taking opiates for chronic pain can contribute to apnea while you sleep. So there are a lot of different reasons why this can happen. The treatment is almost all the same. It is a CPAP, continuous positive airway pressure. It's a device that pushes a little bit of air under pressure through the airways to keep them opened up, almost like a splint made of air, so that you can breathe past those floppy tissues that are trying to cut off the supply of air.
How do people get used to, and maybe there's the fact that they are sleeping because of the machine, but how do they get used to sleeping wearing a machine like that?
Yeah, well, the good thing is over the years, the machines have just become much more quiet, small, unintrusive. The masks that you wear, I mean, I wear it. I'm a sufferer of sleep apnea. I didn't even say sufferer. I have sleep apnea, and fortunately, I'm treating it, so I sleep better than I ever have. And I use something called a nasal pillow, which is a little cushion that goes under your nose. It's not even like a mask that covers your face. I'm a side sleeper. I roll around, and it's comfortable. And I'll tell you what, it's a lot quieter than my snoring. So it's not just me getting good sleep. My wife has slept the best that she's ever slept because now she can sleep.
Is this something that you work through a doctor to get, or is this something that people just sort of buy on their own?
Yeah, no, absolutely through your physician. So if you have a bed partner that says you snore loudly, or it might even sound like you stop breathing, or if you have any of those other symptoms we discussed, you always tired during the day, or you wake up with headaches or drenched in sweat, you know, the signs that you've been going through this suffocation and adrenaline rush over and over, talk to your doctor. They want to test you to make sure that you really do have this condition, and then they're the ones who can help you get on the right therapy.
Okay, just to get an idea for that. People want to find out more about some of the things we talked about, getting a better sleep, maybe CPAP as well. Where's a good place to get some information on this?
Yeah, there's a great website, sleepforbettertomorrow.com. It has all the information about sleep in general, sleep disorders, questions to ask yourself and your doctor, sleepforbettertomorrow.com.